Rush into Old Navy for big back-to-school savings. Right now, get up to 50% off the best kids and baby styles with jeans from just $12 and super soft tees from just $5. Today at Old Navy and oldnavy.com. Valid 8/24 to 8/30. Select styles only.
On 11/16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett. For Anytime Fitness, dare yourself to make a change. Join Anytime Fitness today. And nothingtolose.com.au. You've got nothing to lose except your mortgage.
7:09, good morning and welcome to the program. It's going to be tough as an under-10s assistant coach telling players not to punch the opposition this week. For clearly, young eyes see their heroes letting a few go every week without them missing a game. A fine of $1,000 or so cleans the slate. It's probably a bit rich, pardon the pun, to fine a 10-year-old when only following his idols. We all thought AFL CEO Gil McLachlan had clout, for he did fix up the price of pies and hot chips at the footy when things got out of hand. And when he said last week the game would change the rules to protect the image of the game, we all believed him. As we believe AFL Football Operations Manager Simon Lefleen, who strongly told us the game wouldn't tolerate punches going forward. We were also told no rule changes were necessary by head office, for it was all covered in existing guidelines. So a week later, Zach Jones goes whack and punches Luke Bruce, and the standard low impact intentional to the body was applied by the MRP. And surprise, surprise, Zach Jones is writing out a check. The MRP sent its own message to the AFL chiefs by just laughing in their face. I'll try and get McLachlan and Lefleen to explain that to the under-10s. I'm KB. That's my take.
There's an element of physicality, and then when it crosses over into incidents that are not a good look. And I sort of want to be, I think I can talk in broad terms and be unequivocal that I don't like punching in our game, and I don't feel it's the look we want, and, you know, to the point, to the extent that our rules don't provide for it, we'll look to change them.
Look, it's unusual, but yeah, we're going to. You know, we don't want punching to continue. We're unequivocal about that, and we'll make that really clear to the players and clubs and make a change that, as I said, is enforceable and gives the MRP the right equipment in their classifications to ensure that, you know, sanctions are now matches as compared to fines, if that's going to be the deterrent required.
Well, there was Gil McLachlan and Simon Lefleen from early last week on punching. 9429 1116. Give us your thoughts. 0433 98 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, well, if someone throws a punch, should they actually be suspended? The SEN open line is open all morning, all thanks to Huawei. Huawei Mate 9, a step ahead. Coming up, of course, Michael Gleeson's about to join us, leading football writer for The Age. Always taking your call, so it's always your forum. It's your opportunity to fire up gibberish of the week as well. Also, I want to talk some tennis with Brett Phillips today, the French Tennis Championships overnight. And don't forget, Dr. Turf, as you know, is quirky, antagonistic, and sometimes very unlikable. Lord, protect us and preserve us from the things that don't concern us.
Sports, Michael Gleeson.
G'day, Michael.
G'day, Kevin. Even when they want to get it right, they don't quite get it right, the AFL, do they?
They talked tough last week.
Well, they did, and they, in large part, they were right. The rules were there to address the sorts of punches that we had been seeing. But then they came across this one. And the MRP yesterday did exactly the right thing. You couldn't classify this as anything other than an intentional punch to the chest. Was low impact. It didn't really hurt him.
Within the guidelines. Within the guidelines. From.
So the AFL, when they said, to the extent that the rules do not provide for it, we will change them. This was exactly the case where the rules didn't provide for the sort of penalty that they required to stamp out a punch. Because this was just the rules are there that if you punch him to the stomach and it's not that hard, but it doesn't look good, Gil's optics, then you need to change the rule because that's the maximum you could have really come down with. So the MRP was right yesterday. I think they'd been wrong previously, and that created the problem. I think that they're...
By saying low impact instead
low
of medium.
Low impact instead of medium and not... So some of those incidents, Fife, Nankervis, Cochin, they should have all been longer bigger penalties than they got. Then you come across this one, which if you're going to say... We don't like the look of a punch of any description, of any sort of weight and impact. then you have to have changed the rules to accommodate this. But as it stood, no, punch to the chest, punch to the guts, no.
Well, they were very strong when they came out last week, but then after they had a rethink about it, they said, oh, no, it's all covered within the guidelines. But what the match review panels firstly laughed in their face and said, well, it's not covered in the guidelines because we're going to give that low impact.
Yeah, well, and they had to. I mean, that wasn't, you couldn't say that that was anything more than low.
No, but Gill and Simon Lethlean, they were talking about the image of the punch, the look of the punch. That's what I'm saying with the under-10s. So what do you say to the under-10s when they punch somebody?
You've lost your hot dog money.
Can't fine you really in the under-10s, but they're heroes they see.
But that's the problem of fines in throughout. You know, how do you apply at other levels of the game, how do you apply a penalty that is at AFL level considered a fine? That's a silliness.
The AFL backed the rush behind too overnight?
Well, there's a surprise that they would back up their own rule. I was less troubled by that one.
Close to the harsh end, they said, but they
it was. I was less troubled by that one than I was the Sydney, the one with, was it Papley and Pickin? I thought that one was closer. This one, he had another, Mills and Pickin. This one, I thought, yeah, he had a teammate. He was further. I mean, he'd run with Josh Green for 100 metres to the goal square, and anyone that's run, any player would know that they'd probably outpace Green to the goal square, and he knew that he had him covered, I think, at that point. Looked over his shoulder. You could see what he was thinking. He's spent. He's got to the goal square. He just thinks, bang, get it through. I'm in a foot race with this bloke. He gets it first. He kicks a goal. I get it first. I get it over the line. Yeah, I don't think many people would have been troubled if he'd not been penalised, but you could see what they were thinking. But does anyone like it? You know, you've given up a behind. You've given up the score. And, I mean, I understand the logic that when you do give up the behind, the kick-in, you're actually more dangerous from a kick-in going end-to-end than you are from, you know, just keeping the ball in play and trying to handball it and run it back up the field. But, yeah, I think it doesn't surprise me that they sanctioned it as correct. But I don't think it would pass the sniff test in most conversations.
Now, I was going to ask you who do you think at the moment, we're virtually at the halfway mark, who's been the player of the year so far? So I'd like to ask the fans that as well, because we've had so many great champions in the game, and I just mentioned to you Dangerfield more than likely would be on top of the list, and you said, no, he's not my player of the year so far.
No, not my not the best player in
not
the comp
best player
as far
in the competition.
As I'm concerned. No.
Who do you think is the best player in the competition?
Lance Franklin. I still think he's the best, most influential player in the competition. Most damaging, most worrisome to oppositions. Look, you're arguing between, you know, degrees of elite. So, but for me, the big forward, profound impact on the game. You saw him the other night. Dangerfield, likewise, superb player. I think Fife's further adrift than that. I think Fife coming back, Fife prior to his injury was the best player. I think he's still a fair way from that, and I'd have other players ahead of him as well.
Well, I'd like to ask the fans that. Who do you think at the halfway mark, who is the best player in the competition? And also, who is the most exciting player in the competition?
Well, Franklin's pretty close there too.
Well, he might be both. People may think he's the best player, and also they may think he's the most exciting player. But there's a lot of other players in the competition who are pretty exciting.
Who excites you, Kevin?
Well, Eddie Betts excites me. Mm. Buddy excites me. I get excited by Dangerfield as well. Toby Green excites me.
Yeah. I thought you might like Toby Green.
He's a very good player. Very good player.
Jeremy Howe. I like the high marking player.
He's an exciting
player.
He takes
at least one a week.
Who would you go to watch?
Cyril.
Cyril.
Buddy Franklin.
I want
to
put that in the list as well. Who do you go to watch? 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. I want to take a couple of early calls.
And likewise, which good player wouldn't you cross the road to watch?
What do you mean, a good player?
Well, there's some players that are well regarded by people, but they don't really excite you. I mean, they're good, honest, toiling. You know, get the ball a lot, but gee, do you really go out of your way to see them play? Not really. They're not exciting.
Rance is an exciting player.
He is an exciting player. Very rare that you get that from a defender, but he is one that makes you want to watch the game. Because he backs in. It's not just that he is effective, but it's he takes the risk, and that's what's exciting about him. You can see the moment, particularly when you can watch it live, you can see the moment when he leaves his man to go at the ball. and you know there's a danger there, there's a risk there. If they, this doesn't work, he's going to be really burned.
Actually, you've brought up a good topic. Who are the greatest risk takers in AFL football? I like Jared Harbrow. I reckon he's a risk taker.
He is a risk taker.
Saad up at the Gold Coast. I reckon he's a risk taker.
Yeah. Jaden Hunt, I
Pit
like
Hart,
to watch.
I reckon, is a risk taker.
Jaden Hunt, I really like to watch, but he's a risk taker in that he just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and it's almost until he runs out of room, and then he makes a decision. Look, he gets burnt on some turnovers, but he takes the risk. He takes the game on, takes a risk.
Yes, who's the greatest risk taker in the game? Take a couple of early calls. It's always your opportunity to fire up what's on your mind in sport. Johnny's in Bourne. Good day, John.
Hey, Kev.
Good day, John.
Look, can I just say to you, Kev, I agree 100% with you. It's not a great look about the under-10s whacking each other, but they don't do much damage at that age. Wait till I get to 16, 18 and 20, and my young bloke's 18 years old, just started playing senior footy, against 100-kilo gorillas. And let me tell you, they can do some serious damage. In my view, the punch has just got to stop.
Look, I disagree a little bit. I think in under-10s you get some kids a little bit stronger than other kids. It's a bit like a 20-year-old hitting a 20-year-old. I mean, if you're a 10-year-old hitting a 10-year-old, you feel the impact.
It hurts just as much.
It hurts just as much, I think, for a 10-year-old.
But the potential to cause serious injury might be lessened compared to the 20-year-old.
Might be less. But it's pretty hurtful for the kid who's being punched, and particularly in under-10s, because you can get some kids a little bit more mature than other kids, and some kids at that age... you know, a little bit less inclined for the physical contact
that
the sport
too at that age
puts in their path. John, appreciate your thoughts though. Jason's in Mernda. G'day, Jason.
G'day, guys. How are we going?
Good, thanks, Jason.
Yeah, KB, my son last year started playing football. His first season under 10s. Got to about the fourth round. The opposition team were doing this niggly little belting each other around the ground. They got to the end of the game, wind up to shake hands, and one of the opposition kids decided to punch one of my son's teammates in the guts instead of shaking his hand. It was the last game of football my son's ever played, and probably the last game he does ever play. His choice, not mine. I just think that this stuff's got to stop. What happened to sportsmanship in Australia? Australians were known as, you know, great sportsmen, and sportsmanship meant a lot. It's just gone out the window.
Well, of course, those generally involved in junior football keep mentioning to the young kids, you know, don't go punching, you know, the opposition, and don't go swearing at the umpire, or don't go abusing the umpire or saying something that's nasty. So I think people involved in junior competitions are working pretty hard towards that. But if they're watching their idols on TV and their heroes punching people, and they're smart enough to read that they don't get rubbed out, well, they like to follow their idols. It's as simple as that.
Oh, and the idea of, it's just niggle. It's just niggle. You know, niggle your opponent. You're off the ball. Give him a bit of a whack in the ribs. What? You can't do that.
This hour, all thanks to Open Corp. You can go to opencorp.com.au to organise your free and obligation assessment. A quick break. We'll come back. We'll fly through your calls. What's on your mind in sport?
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Anytime Fitness. Are you up for the challenge? Dare yourself and join Anytime Fitness today. And nothingtolose.com.au. You've got nothing to lose except your mortgage.
Welcome back. It's 27 minutes past 9. Just some of the SMS is saying, I hit a kid with a coward punch in under 12s during a game. Not only the biggest regret of my career, but my biggest in my life, now 28 years of age. Still disgusted with myself. A punch is a punch. It has to go, says Dan from Fitzroy. My absolute favourite player to watch at the moment as an Essendon supporter is McDonald Tip and Woody.
Yep.
Now, that's a good call because he's not the best player in the game.
No.
But he's very, very exciting to watch. Found myself standing up and yelling at the TV. Brings a huge smile to my face every time. He's untradeable. Cats have danger. We have McDonald Tip and Woody, says Tony from Croydon.
And it's pace. Pace is exciting.
Gary is in Avondale Heights. G'day, Gary.
Oh, how are you?
Good, thanks, Gary.
Now, look, I think that we laud the AFL for some fantastic things that it does, such as the Indigenous Round and everything else that goes towards those kinds of things. But I'm absolutely appalled that we find that ex-footballers are in the papers with criminal convictions for violence against their partners, such as Murphy and and Stevens a few years ago, and yet the AFL turns a blind eye to punching. And in the old days, you didn't punch, you just played footy. But nowadays, it seems to me that every few minutes on the ground, when there's a melee or some kind of push and shove, there's a cheap shot punch. And I think it's such an appalling look that the AFL's got to have a good hard look at itself, because it's no good in society and it's no good on the footy field. I don't go to footy to watch a boxing match. I go to footy to watch the competitive nature of two guys or four guys or 44 guys at each other playing football.
Gary, great call. I agree with you. And from that, we can ask the listeners, how do they fix the punches then? Should a punch thrown be a minimum of 1 week? And if that punch is to the head, should that be a minimum of 2 weeks?
Well, that's a question.
Is that what you would say to the AFL, Gary?
I'd say any punch, regardless of whether it's a feather punch or it's a hard punch. I don't care. A feather punch is 1 week. If you punch a bloke in the mouth or in the throat, it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But the punch has got to be eradicated.
So, therefore, we're saying the punch, if a punch is thrown, it's got to be a minimum of 1 week.
Yeah, well, that... If you want to eradicate it, the way the AFL said, we don't like this. We want to come down stronger on it. And it's not a good look, in Gill's words. He doesn't like it. And to the extent that the rules do not provide for it, they will change them. They were his words
so
last week.
So why did they change it? What was in the rules and the guidelines that they felt? I suppose from that we thought they'd probably go to the MRP and say, well, look, don't rate it as low impact. Rate it as medium impact. But, you know, the MRP, to their credit, they've got a set of guidelines they're operating off, and they've looked at it and said, well, we don't regard it as being medium impact on, you know, the way we've judged things throughout the course of the year. We're going to say, as we have in the past, that is low impact. So therefore, it's up yours virtually.
Well, I think that what they've done is go back to the MRP about a couple of those incidents and say, look, there was, under the wording of the guidelines, there was scope for them to have taken a softer penalty. And on those occasions, they did use that scope to take the softer penalty. And they've gone back to them and reinforced, we don't want you to take that scope. We want you to actually apply the stronger penalty where possible. But in this one, there was nothing else that the MRP could have done, because that was the wording. Now it challenges the AFL to say, right, okay, well, if that's the wording, and you're right, that is the wording, there's nothing else that could have been done in that instance other than to grade that medium. You couldn't grade that a medium level punch. So if that's the case, the only thing that we need to do,
well, they
now...
They said originally they would change the
that's
rules.
That's right. But I don't think they anticipated that a punch, you know, a light punch to the gut. They hadn't fully examined all of that. I think that they need to now, if they want to say we any punch is punishable with a stronger penalty, then they need to go back and revisit those rules and say, okay, you punch someone to the gut, it's a minimum week. And we will change that. The low impact doesn't really matter. If it's a punch, it's a punch. But the MLP didn't get it wrong yesterday.
No.
The rules were there. And the AFL, well-intended, but they didn't fully examine every facet of the punching rules and say, well, okay, we need to tighten this up or that up. The only other question, I mean, there will be a reaction. You go changing this and you get a light punch, and then the immediate response will be, you know, after a game, does he really, should he really be going for a week? Look, he didn't hurt him. He didn't, you know, it was just to the guts. And people say, should you miss a week for that? Imagine missing a grand final for that. That's the natural reaction that will come. And
but
there will be a kickback to that.
But in this day and age where people are worried about one punch kills, violence in the streets, it's a strong message to get across. And particularly when the CEO says, I don't like the look of throwing punches in AFL football. It's not a good look for our game. It's not a good look for kids. And, you know, I've got others here just saying, I would like to think the parents have more influence over their children than the AFL in regards to kids punching each other. Others are saying their kids on the weekend, again, lining up like a previous caller as they're, you know, touching hands after the game. One of the kids' son got punched in the guts as well. Mm. Because you see it on TV.
I know. It's
only a punch in the guts.
What I'm saying is I'm anticipating the reaction when you change it and there is a mandatory sentence for those things, and you say a week is a week, because that costs Brownlows. And that will be, do you miss a Brownlow, do you miss a grand final for that light punch? look, you go out and play football, you submit yourself to all manner of things that you don't submit yourself to if you're just walking in the street. You don't have someone come and just grab you and belt you to the ground. So that's part of the sport. This isn't part of the sport. You don't submit yourself to say, oh, well, I'm playing footy, so it's okay to punch me in the head, or it's okay to punch me in the guts. No. The game tolerates sufficient physical violence visited upon you without...
Within the rules of the game.
Yeah, within the rules.
But that doesn't cover punching.
A punch outside of it. That's right.
So we'll ask the fans that, should we do that? Should there be a minimum if a punch is thrown? Because Gil McLachlan clearly said he does not like the look of punches being thrown. Joey's on the road. G'day, Joey.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we?
Good. Who's the most exciting player in the competition?
Well, I've got 2 points. I would like to talk about the whole punching scenario as well. But at the moment, look, I'd have to say one of the young blokes that has really risen is Joe Danaher. I'm a supporter. Obviously, I'm a bit biased, but just the way he has a real aura around him now and a real excitement whenever... Like, there's a buzz around the field. I was there at the Essendon-Richmond game this weekend, and whenever he got near the ball, there was a real buzz around the ground, and I just think that he's really starting to show what he's worth, and his stocks have risen heaps.
I agree with you. I think he's such an exciting player, Joe Danaher. And I made the comment, Joey, you being an Essendon supporter, reminds me when Paul Salmon first came on the scene. Just the buzz that went around the ground when, you know, the big fish went for the ball. And I can see that with Joe Danaher as well. I think that's a very good call. Stay on the line. Johnny's in Perth listening on the app. Hopefully crystal clear there, Johnny.
Good morning, gentlemen.
G'day.
G'day, John.
No one ever races. We always talk about forwards. We always talk about midfielders. But there's a bloke in the competition right now that is far and above anything that we've seen, and we just talk about Joe Danaher. Well, after half-time, Joe Danaher didn't snip the ball because of a certain man called Alex Rance. I mean, this guy here not only goes head-to-head with Lance Franklin, and forget last year, but if you look at his record against Lance Franklin, he very, very, very rarely gets beaten against him. And against all key forwards, he hardly ever loses a battle. His disposal is as good as anything now that we've ever seen. Let's wipe out his first 2 years of football. And I reckon, pound for pound, he's the best defender the competition's ever seen.
Well, a lot of people are talking about Alex Rance, whether or not he's the best fullback the game's ever seen. We did discuss this last week, John, and our general feeling was that, you know, people like Silvani, Kelvin Moore, Southby and Densher, they played probably close to 300 games. So they did it for a long period of time. So Alex Rance is a great player, and I think probably is equal to them at this stage of his career if he can maintain it. But he is an exceptional defender. And it's an interesting point that you make, that we'll always go to the midfielder, or we'll go to the Buddy Franklin, or maybe go to the Joe Danaher. But being the defender, they're always sort of down a notch. But he might be the best player in the game.
No, might not be the best player at Richmond. Dusty Martin's a pretty good player. But he is.
But he might be the best player at Richmond.
Yeah, he might be the most influential.
Can we just ask that as an interesting one? At Richmond, if you're a Richmond supporter, you can either give us a call or send through 0433 98 11 16. Who do you regard as the best player at Richmond? Now, Cochin's a very good player, but we'll just put him to one side at the moment.
Jack Riewoldt's a good player.
And Jack Riewoldt. But put him to one side, Rance v. Martin, who is the best player for Richmond, Rance or Martin?
Richmond would lose more games with Rance out of the side than Martin out of the side.
I agree with that.
So therefore, they'll win more games with Rance in the team than Martin in
the team.
He's
more irreplaceable.
Yeah, he's more influential.
This hour, all thanks to Open Corp. Go to opencorp.com.au to organise your free and obligation assessment. The SEN Open Line is always open all morning. All thanks to Huawei. Huawei Mate 9, a step ahead. We'll come back. We'll take your calls, 942-9116. What's on your mind in sport? You can always set the sporting agenda. And also, we'll come back with Gibberish of the Week.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett. For Anytime Fitness, dare yourself to make a change. Join Anytime Fitness today. And nothingtolose.com.au, you've got nothing to lose except your mortgage.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. Just shut your mouth,
and you can do it. It's Gibberish of the Week, and as you know, Michael, you got any gibberish that you've heard this week?
This is like the Media Watch. This is when the commentators everywhere hold their breath. The segment of the week.
Of course, don't forget, we're completely ineligible to actually win Gibberish of the Week. You know that.
Oh, well, that's only appropriate. Anyone listening for the last hour would know that we'd never qualify anyway.
And then we'll come back and we'll fly through your calls. So let's start with our very own Tony Shebeki talking about car racing and his and the name of his co-partner.
Cairns Jayco Australia 4 Formula 4 action as well. And to tell us all about it, Graham Sattler, the operations director for Shannon's Nationals. How are you, Graham?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Yeah, well.
So, Tony, they're just not quite knowing the co-commentator's name. Bruce McAvaney, of course, asked a very complicated question to Cameron Ling.
So what's the difference between 21 and 20, Lingy? I'll get you in a second.
I reckon the difference is one.
You can't be sure. I mean, you never know.
I reckon the difference between 21 and 20 is one. Cameron Ling, I'm certainly came up with that. Brett Anderson on the weekend, just going to too much depth, I would think, for the conditions at Etihad Stadium.
Well, it's unusual because, the ground is in magnificent condition. We've got an overcast day, so the weather is absolutely perfect.
It's a little bit blustery at ground level, KB. That's the one thing with the roof open, and it's unusual to get any breeze here, but it is a little bit blustery, and it is swirling, so it's not favouring either end. I think we saw...
Blustery? Did you ever play out at the Western Oval?
No.
Did you ever play down at Windy Hill? Blustery? No. You reckon this is blustery?
Didn't manage to play league footy, but just...
This was a calm day compared to those grounds.
But one thing you
couldn't even kick the ball to one end. Come back over your head.
One thing you did notice was Jake Stringer's two shots he had for goal that quarter really worked hard right to left, going down to that right-hand end, the Coventry end. But there is a bit of breeze out here, but the players, AFL players, should be good enough to handle it.
Well, as I said, for Anytime Fitness, the ground is in magnificent condition. The weather, we're told, at ground level is very, very windy here.
Hurricane smoke.
Well, Brett Anderson, he's going to be a strong contender for Gibberish of the Week, blustery conditions at Etihad Stadium. Mm. Cam Mooney, of course, our very own, just doesn't know who coaches who in the AFL.
Feedback here saying Ben Brown got a couple of easy free kicks. I understand but got the 10 coaches votes.
Yeah.
So John Longmire did think that he was clearly. Someone said, why would John Longmire, who coaches Sydney, be giving Ben Brown votes?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, the coaches votes, if you don't know how this works, coaches give is it 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
Yes.
And so that means if a player gets 10, for the person who texts that in, the player gets 10, that means he's and the opposition coach had five votes.
Yeah, but Melbourne played North Melbourne. Of course, coach of Sydney.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
What was that?
Oh, sorry.
There's a very good reason the person was worried about John Longmire giving votes in that game.
So there's Cam Mooney doing his very best work. And ABC News TV reporter just asking a very uncomfortable and a very awkward question.
Now, Nick, I just want to ask you to, on a personal level, you are a young Aboriginal man. Tell us what this actually means to you.
Oh, I'm not Indigenous, so I suppose I can't reflect from that perspective.
So very uncomfortable, very awkward position there for the ABC TV reporter. And also, I want you to listen to this because this is my winner. He is fantastic. He gives. He's got a great body of work. He had foot surgery recently, still recovering. He shouldn't be on air. We know that. And we should cut him some slack, but we don't and we won't. It's the Ox.
Cale Hooker. He's not a forward and he has to go back. I just don't understand why you try and make chocolate out of soy sauce. A lot of groans from the crowd, most of them being Collingwood. They're just not seeing what they're liking. The margin is 19 points in favour of the Pies. Coming through, Scharenberg.
Done it again, my friend. You're
what?
Just not seeing what they're liking.
No, they're not. They're not. Oh, they're not liking
very,
what they see.
Very similar. Very similar to a famous saying of liking what they're seeing.
There we go.
And I reckon when you talk about chocolates, you don't sort of have soy sauce. Generally, boiled lollies come into the equation with chocolates.
He didn't want to be cliched. He's inventing his new.
It's a body of work we've never seen before. And as a result, the Ox is winner of Gibberish of the Week. If anyone has turned any soy sauce into chocolates, just let us know. If you need some, give us a buzz on 9429 1116. But the Ox, magnificent on the weekend, has had surgery on his foot, so we should have cut him some slack, but
may
why?
Still be recovering from medication.
Probably is, but...
We're
not going to cut him any slack. Body of work is magnificent. Gibberish of the Week. Ned's in Adelaide. G'day, Ned.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Good, Ned.
Just quickly, I was reading about the Cats, but just quickly, Dangerfield's kicked, I think, 12 less goals than Lance Franklin and does a fair bit more in the middle. So I think he's probably got Lance Franklin covered for the first half of the year.
As the best player.
Yeah, the best player. But also, KB, I'm just wondering, are the Cats going to make the finals yet? I know you haven't been honest all year. I forgive you for that. You've stuck hard. You've stuck fast to your opinion at the start of the year. The Cats weren't good enough to make the finals. Are you on board yet? Can we have you as a member on the bandwagon?
Look, there's a sneaky chance. I'll give you that. There's a sneaky chance. I've just looked up our tables here of sides and their chances of making the finals. This is a list of tables, of course, that is comes from 1994 through to 2016 exclusive. And it gives you a running percentage of your chances of playing finals at different stages of the year. How many games have the Cats won at the moment, Ned?
7-3
7-3 and I go to my tables. You got an 85.4% chance of playing finals.
Is that your definition of sneaky? I don't know.
I think that's a sneaky chance at the moment. Depends how they go against Adelaide. I mean, if they drop the game to Adelaide,
KB, if they make the every other game for the rest of the year and then the grand final down to Cadinia Park, the Cats will win. Let's not get carried away with a couple of home games. Let them go back. They were struggling until they got home again. They've had some good wins at home. They've still got to leave home again.
I was a little bit worried, Ned, when the coach said after the Cats lost three games in a row, he said this is not uncharacteristic of the way that we play. So that sort of worried me a little bit, Ned. I kept thinking then, well, maybe they're not going to be consistent enough. But won the last couple of games, got the game against Adelaide. Are you confident against Adelaide, Ned?
I think it's a real 50-50 game. And just on the comment about playing well at home, I think that might account for most teams in the AFL. They do enjoy playing at home, so I think that's a little bit...
Well, there's a number of teams' home games are actually just at the MCG already at stadium, where other teams' home games are. This is an exclusive home ground.
You think that's slightly different, Ned? You think Simmons Stadium...
The thing about the MCG is the teams that play home at the MCG also play their home games against interstate teams, and that's very much a home game. So that's also a bit disingenuous. I think they obviously don't have as many home games, but they might play more games at the MCG than, say, Geelong, who play, eight games at Simmons Stadium. So it's all equals out. I mean, yeah, I actually think our defensive game plan may not stand up as well at the MCG. I'm nervous about that. We play a zone that can get picked apart with possession football, and it works very well at Simmons Stadium because it's a narrow ground. I am nervous about that, but we'll make the finals, and we need to tighten up that a little bit, I think.
Okay, very confident of making the finals. Now, this week after play, the Adelaide Crows, let's say they dropped that to the Adelaide Crows. Let's just say the Crows beat Geelong just for conversation. Then they've got to go to over Perth to play West Coast.
Yep.
Then they play Fremantle, so they win that one. Then they've got to play Giants at Spotless Stadium. So they could lose three of those four. Would that make the Cats a little bit shaky if they lose three of those four? Then they've got Brisbane at the Gabba. They win that. They've got to play Hawthorn.
Hawthorn win that.
Love playing against the Cats, don't they? Hawthorn as well. So they're always a good competition. So then you've got Adelaide Crows at Adelaide Oval. Then you've got Carlton, Sydney Swans, got Richmond, Collingwood, the Giants. No, can't say there's certainties, Ned. Sneaky chance, I think, to make the finals at the moment. A lot depends on this game this week. This hour, all thanks to Open Corp. Go to opencorp.com.au. Is anyone else there think they're just a sneaky chance to make the finals? You think there's certainties?
After seven
there?
Wins, I think they'll get there.
You think there's certainties?
I think they're there.
Remember last year, North Melbourne won, the first 10 or 11?
I think there's a bit more.
They fell in by percentage nearly in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they're a better team than North was last year.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. If you've got the answer to that, do you think Cats can play finals? 9429 16. We'll come back. We'll fly through your calls.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Anytime Fitness. Are you up for the challenge? Dare yourself and join Anytime Fitness today. And nothingtolose.com.au. You've got nothing to lose except your mortgage.
Coming up after 10 o'clock, Patrick Smith from The Australian is going to join us. Brett Phillips, our tennis commentator, of course, our guru, all the action from the French. Get something off your chest, always your opportunity to fire up. And, of course, as you know, Dr. Turf, quirky and very antagonistic, sometimes very unlikable. Brian Waldron's not feeling 100% today, so Brian will join us hopefully tomorrow. Alex has joined us in East Hawthorn. G'day, Alex.
G'day, gentlemen. I went to the North game, North Carlton game, and there was a couple of incidents on the boundary line. One where I think Bryce Gibbs bumped a guy and knocked him down, and then another one where another Carlton guy dumped one of the North blokes after the ball went over the boundary line. I was a Carlton fan howling, saying, yeah, that shouldn't be a free kick. But both times it was given a free kick, and for the rest of the game it didn't happen. It cleaned the game up immediately. As soon as the umpire gives a free kick, you know, does it twice, it doesn't happen again in the rest of the game. Why don't they do that to this jumper punching crap?
Well, they should. They should because if you punch somebody, that's a free kick, and the free kick should be paid. Or if you punch somebody in the head or the body, it should be paid. Alex, I'm only assuming that for some reason sometimes umpires don't see the obvious.
To be fair, there wasn't a jumper punch at the weekend.
No, it wasn't.
We weren't talking about jumper punches.
No, but he's talking across the board.
But since it was forecast last week, there weren't jumper punches for the weekend. There weren't charges of jumper punches.
There was some jumper...
Some pushing and shoving. But
grabbed a jumper, but it was sort of...
Yeah. I mean, you can still push and shove like that, but that's not actual... Grab the jumper and then just punch.
So you reckon that had an effect on the jumper
punching? I think it had an effect at the weekend, yeah, it did.
So what Alex is saying, you're saying had an effect?
Yeah. I'm saying that by declaring it and forecasting this is going to happen, it did have an effect at the weekend. But... The interest will be how the AFL and then players respond to what happened with Zach Jones.
Okay, but the question still remains, would the fans be happy if when the minimum of throwing a punch is 1 week, but you're claiming people may jump up and down now and say you should give them 1 week, but if it was their player who got rubbed out for 1 week and it was a big game or it was a final or grand final, they would be unhappy.
Prelim finals get very willing. It's not unreasonable to crystal ball that there'd be some sort of melee and bit of a fight and then, grab a bit of jumper and suddenly there's a jumper punch, you lose your player for the grand final because there's a mandatory 1 week. I think teams will start to get you do.
It's still an unusual act playing football to turn around and punch someone.
It is. All I'm saying is devil's advocate, I can envisage the reaction will be very different when it actually comes into place.
Sacrifice one to educate 1,000, I think Ross Lyon once said.
Was he quoting Ross Lyon or quoting someone else?
Well, he quoted himself anyway. Sacrifice 1, educate 1,000. Rick is in Sunshine Coast. G'day, Rick.
Yeah, g'day. How you going, guys?
Good, Rick.
Yeah, straight off the back of just what you were just saying, I think regardless of what fans think and that type of thing, whether it's a preliminary final leading a great game, it's just not on. You know, I related to a new 400-game AFL player. His brother went over to the SANFL and... runner-up McGarry medals. I grew up playing the Mornington Peninsula and Bush Leagues, and I don't think the three of us ever threw a single punch in our lives. You don't need to do it to play tough, hard footy, and to say that, but it's a serious game, it doesn't matter. It's not required, and it shouldn't belong in footy. I think it detracts from the game. Hardness is going hard at the ball and hard at the player when it's fair and in play, and jumper punch is ridiculous. There was the one a couple of weeks ago where we said it was a jumper punch and it was a straight-out gut punch. There was no jumper even being held. I think it's a great argument putting up, but regardless of what, whether it's a big game or not, they should get a week.
Appreciate your call and your thoughts there, Rick. I agree. Dennis is in Oakley. G'day, Dennis.
Yes. Good morning, Kev. Morning, Mike.
Hey, Dennis.
Boys, the Indigenous round, watching Buddy and Burgoyne in their pomp was magnificent, and particularly the political symbolism of number 67. I thought that was a masterstroke by the AFL to consider that and actually put that into practice.
But was it the AFL that came up with that, wearing the number 67, or was that something that the players came up with originally?
Yeah, I don't know. I assumed it was the players and the through the PO, but AFL sanctioned.
Anyway, it took off, and it was something that was very noticeable, Dennis.
Yeah, it was magnificent, which brings me a bit to Hawthorn, Kev. A lot of discussion about Hawthorn. My feeling is, if they had retained Lewis and Mitchell, they would now be a top contender for the 8 and a contender for the flag. I think Clarkson outsmarted himself here.
Okay, well, we'll ask the Hawthorn fans that. If you did have Lewis and Mitchell, do you think maybe you could be a chance to play finals? They may even give themselves a chance now. But Dennis is even suggesting maybe they could even win the flag. Michael, always great to catch up.
Good to talk, Kevin.
Very interesting morning. We'll take more of your calls. Coming up next, Patrick Smith.